Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. I have a secret to tell from my electrical well. It's a simple message and I'm leaving out the whistles and bells. So the room must listen to me, filibuster vigilantly. My name is Blue Canary, one note spelled L-I-T-E. My story's infinite, like the Longine Symphony. It doesn't rest. Blue Canary in the outlet by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Glowing friend, but really I'm not actually your friend, but I am. There's a picture opposite me of my primitive ancestry, which stood on rocky shores and kept the beaches shipwreck free. Though I respect that a lot, I'd be fired if that were my job. After killing Jason off and countless screaming Argonauts, new bird of friendliness, like guardian angels, it's always me. Canary in the outlet by the light switch. Who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, leave the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, keep the night light on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. While you're at it, leave the night light on inside the birdhouse in your soul. Not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Hey, you're listening to WMFO 91.5 FM, and we are
OSB.
Everyone,
Welcome to All Chat, the video game talk show. I'm your host, Mr. Gracias, and joining me today
is me, DJ. Is you. DJ. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You just wake up from a nap?
I did.
You did just wake up from a nap. That's why we're 3 minutes late. But, I mean, it's not your fault. I'm just saying we're 3 minutes late. I'm sorry for everyone who's been waiting, you know, since, you know, 4:59 on the dot for our arrival. And, you know.
Our loyal fans.
Yeah, I mean, you can't do that. You got to think of the masses, dude.
I'm so sleepy.
Such as us too, you know. There's a whole world we're talking to. Anyway, it's 5:03 p.m. It's a really nice Friday. Great weather outside. We haven't had it for a while. Even though it's overcast, it's still very warm out. Got my shorts on. Didn't have to wear a sweater for the majority of this day.
I wore a sweater.
Really?
Yeah.
No, it was really warm. Too warm to be. I was walking around a lot, so.
Me too.
Anyway, we're going to talk about PAX because last weekend, this past Sunday, we went to PAX. How long were we there?
From 9 a.m. to 5 p.m.
Yeah.
30 p.m.
Yeah. So, we're going to play like a song or two and then come back to you and talk to you about PAX. This is 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio, and we'll get back to you after this song that I haven't chosen yet, so I actually have to stay on the mic for a little bit longer.
Stall.
Yeah, what song should I play?
Call Me Maybe, Carly Rae Jepsen.
We did that last time. Is that like a theme song?
Or Friday by Rebecca Black, or...
I'm going to play 11:11, because I actually really like that song.
I don't know what that song is.
You're gonna hear it, and you're gonna love it. And for those of you listening, you're gonna hear it, and you're gonna love it too. Gotta plug that in. All right. See you guys after this.
What about Owl City?
But it wasn't for me. You were up at the front. On your head to tell them your age. to 12:34. There was a kiss just waiting to happen. A cab was calling outside the door. Ooh, I knew from the beginning. Ooh, it was you from the beginning. Hey.
So how do you feel about that song? You like it?
Yeah, it was fun.
Pretty upbeat, right?
Yeah.
All right. And then right now we're going to play some Walk the Moon.
Oh, that's a good.
From Talking Is Hard album, this is Work This Body. See you guys after this one.
I love this one.
Strange place in a tender age, it was just a babe in school. Saw the nose rise at me every time that I thought that I was cool. Well, God knows it was no chosen one, that just wasn't my prime. Yeah, it's just a matter of time, honey, it's just a matter of time. And I will work this body, I will burn this flame.
What a good song.
What an upbeat way to start our
and start everyone's
commute.
Fridays. You know, it's 5 o'clock. Everyone's getting off of work. It's the beginning of the weekend. That's why we have the best time slot. We say it every time.
It really is.
And so we're going to talk about PAX East, which happened here in Boston this past Thursday through Sunday at the convention center.
Why is it called PAX?
That's what I was wondering. And I looked it up and it's called like, it's A stands for arcade. The P stands for like Perry's or something.
Expo is X. Perry's Arcade Expo? That's dumb.
Because the way it started was it was about like an arcade convention thing, and then it's grown into anything related to video games and video game culture. It could be Pax, like the Christian, the Latin. In Christian church, yeah.
Latin. I have that on my arm.
Really?
Pax at Lux, bro.
Isn't that Tufts?
Yeah.
Slogan. Originally known as Penny Arcade Expo. Yeah, so that's what PAX stands for. For those of you that are unfamiliar, it happens every year. There's PAX in what? There's PAX East. There's PAX.
That's only PAX East.
No, there's another one. It happens in major locations sometimes. I forget what.
PAX West? Is there a PAX West?
Is there a PAX West? PAX North? They probably PAX go by South? Different names, honestly. But anyway, we went on Sunday because we weren't able to do a 4-day because, one, that would be tiring. Two, it's a lot of money. Three, we didn't have time for that. Like, I would miss classes on Thursday and Friday.
There's literally a PAX West, PAX East, PAX South.
Well, I figured if they called one PAX East, there would be other, there's other PAXes, like, you know.
Yeah, and there's a PAX Unplugged. What does that mean?
There are no video games? Like, no electricity?
No electricity at all.
Yeah, we play
it. It's a dark room lit with candles.
So if you're wondering what exactly happens at this event, that's basically what we're going to talk about. That was my first PAX ever.
Same.
And I know I keep saying this, but for those of you unfamiliar, PAX is just anything related to video games. So there's a lot of booths with people and developers of new games on the rise that they want to show off to the audience and get their name out there. There's a lot of booths and sections for bigger names like Xbox or Nintendo, or what else do we see? PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds had their own section with a bunch of PCs. But basically the premises of it is to go there, play video games on the rise, play video games that are popular, and basically show off like new equipment, whether it's headsets, keyboards, mice, TV monitors, anything.
Yeah.
And then there's events that they have there, like the one we went to, which was the Psychology of Zelda, where they have panels of people who come in different, like, there's the main floor where all the video game stuff is happening. And then besides that, there's rooms on the outskirts, which are hold like huge panels in the sense that there's like maybe five people talking and then a huge room with a bunch of chairs for the large amount of people that are there.
Yeah, I mean,
because there's a huge population that goes to PAX.
It's like if you're an academic and you've been to conferences for your research,
that would be the best way to.
That's the best way to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Or relate it.
The latest cutting edge in your field.
Yeah.
And this field happens to be video games, and there were talks, there were things.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's a lot of personalities there. There's a lot of people who are on Twitch who stream a lot and have a following, whether it's that or YouTubers
or professional players.
Yeah. That's a place where people you know, meet up and can interact with their community. So my first impression of PAX, like the first maybe hour we were there, especially when we got in the floor, was just like overwhelming. It was just like, how do we?
No.
How
Tell
do
them
we
about
go?
Your actual first reaction, okay? Because that's not
what
it was.
We're not talking about that.
tell them about what happened when you saw your favorite female streamer and you surprised me with your reaction.
So what DJ Hej is referring to is when we showed up and before we got to the main floor, we were looking for our tickets. We hadn't found them yet, have we?
No.
No, yeah. We were getting our tickets because they were at will call. We passed by the main entrance, walking in front of it. We weren't entering it because we didn't have our tickets. Or rather, our badges, because that's what they're called. And then we're walking one way, and then walking right across us, like if it was a car intersection, like she was literally going the like other direction, was one of my first ever Twitch streamers that I subscribed to and was like a fan of, like introduced me to Twitch.
Had a crush on, more like.
No, it wasn't like that. Oh, yes. Like it's never been like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I guess we're not telling it all like it is here.
Oh, come on. That was not what it was like. I was immediately starstruck by the fact that she was just like a real person. Once you've seen someone on TV or like on your screen of your phone for whatever reason, seeing them in real life is very surreal. And seeing them as like a real person. So she walked across from us and I was just like, oh my God, it's Alexi. Like, I just said it, like, I didn't know how to react. Cause like, wait, she just walked right in, like casually, like a real person does. And she's someone that has like maybe over 1,000 subscribers. Like every time she's streaming, she has like around 500. She's not a huge streamer, but big enough. And so I said that and she like turned back and she was like, what, who just said that? But like was still walking cause she was with her friends. And I was just like, I was just bamboozled. I just didn't know what to think.
I didn't even know what was happening.
Yeah, you didn't know.
I thought it was somebody he knew from like school, so I was like, okay, it's a friend.
No, whatever. She's the exact same age as me. So she like at that with that in mind too. It was also weird because like you're just like another college kid. Like it's nothing special about you.
Yeah,
you just have a huge community.
Like for me, she was just another girl in the crowd. Right?
Yeah.
And for
that's the cool thing, is that she kind of, like, probably for a lot of her experience there, she was just, like, around other, like, you know, just a normal person.
Yeah.
But she did post on Twitter that she, and later in stream, like, later that week, was like, I met so many people at PAX that, like, recognized me, and putting faces to names was, like, really nice. She actually recognized my, because on stream, on Twitch, my username is Mr. Gracias.
Yeah.
And then my handle on Twitter was also Mr. Gracias, so she put one and one together.
She actually recognized you?
Well, she recognized when I was on her stream later that day. I was like, oh, I like, bumped, it was nice meeting you out at the arena. Like, I put that in the in that feed. And she was like, oh, yeah, Mr. Gracias, I remember that. Like, and she knew exactly who.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she's, like, on that level. Mm-hmm. Small enough
where, small enough where you could still, yeah.
Yeah.
I also kind of made it easy because, you know, I tweeted at her, which after that encounter, I tweeted at her, like, when you bump into Alexi Ray and then, like, all you could say is OMG. And then she replied, like, hey, like, I was so bamboozled by that too. Like, I'm over here if you want to come and say hi. And I was just like, oh my God.
And we went over there, and then what did I have to do to make you go and talk to her?
I forget what it was. It was something. It wasn't really you. You were kind of more antagonizing. You were just like,
exactly.
Because of you, I didn't want to do it.
No, I need to stand there, and I need to just make you just, like, think about it.
You made it so much more, like, you made me overthink it way more than I had to, because, again, this is someone that, like, I've been a fan of for a while, and so seeing him in person, I was really, like, nervous, and I felt, like, very, like, oh my God, what is she going to think?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to be, like, a fangirl would be annoying or obnoxious, like fans you can be.
Yeah. Like our fans.
Yeah. All the fans that we bumped into at PAX, we haven't even gotten there.
Leave us alone.
People who were fans of the podcast, fans of our All Chat, the video game talk show.
All 11 of
here
you that
at
stream it
91.5 FM. Gosh. WMFO. All those listeners showed up at PAX just to, you know, get our autographs, take pictures with us.
Yeah, just a fanboy.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to do that, basically. I didn't want to be that person.
Okay, okay.
And then eventually after we, like, walked off for a bit, and I was like, wait, what? I'm overthinking it. Let me just go and say hi. And then I just did it.
Yeah.
And that was nice, and talking to her was fun, because it just, like, makes you remember that they're also humans, like, also just people just doing things. So that was my first hour at PAX, was overwhelmed by the amount of stuff there was, like, amount of games, like, how are we supposed to get through all of this and all of the other things that aren't playing games related? Like, the lines to play the major games were just, like, that would take up hours. And then being overwhelmed by seeing one of my favorite people, like, or internet personalities, like, at the event, and also the lack of, like, food. I thought there'd be more food.
Food was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, that's, I guess that's to be expected. Like,
yeah, we have a huge mass of people at a convention.
Yeah, you gotta produce food that's gonna be quick.
So, what was your first? What was your impression of the first?
Hour. Honestly, I was so tired that morning, but also I was just like, what do we even do here? You know, like, I was so confused because we walk in and all of a sudden we just see, like, all these things, all these games, all these, like, little stations, and I'm just like, what do I even, like, where do I even begin?
The first one we walked across, we played immediately. It was the Far Cry on the PC. It was open because it was open. We just, like, walked by it, and we're like, okay, sit down and play.
Yeah, because I was just like, I don't even know what game this is. I don't even care what this, like, booth is for. I just want to, like, sit down and say, like, I did something here.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, like, all the games I sat down and played at, there was the character had no ammo, and I had no idea
was
what was
funny.
Going on.
Yeah, was it was, like, Far Cry 5, and we didn't even realize that until, like, how far into it.
And I was just like, why did they make me do this?
And then what was the next thing we played right after that? Was it the one right behind us?
Yeah, it was some, like, weird, it was, like, that weird, like, spaceship game with, like, the candy themes.
Candy. Oh, you're right. Yeah, that is the next thing we played. It was, like, down the line. We, like, walked for a bit.
I was just like, okay, this game is, like, and this game crashed as soon as we had four players loaded in, I remember. And
that
I didn't
was so embarrassing.
I didn't want to say anything because I was just like,
well, we did the next worst thing after saying something was getting up and leaving.
Yeah. But, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
It's a convention.
Yeah, so there's a lot of indie game, like, small, you know, not huge, like, oh, Microsoft is coming out with a new game. It's just, like, you know, a few developers bring up a game, and then, like, they have their own booth to promote it. and you can sit down and play it. They invite people to come play. They all have merch. They'll have like bags with their logo on it, with their new game, whatever it's called. And what was the one we had? What was it called?
I don't know. It was
Was it called Candy in Space or something?
Yeah, it was such a dumb game, too. I can't even, like, I don't even know what to say.
It looked like Star Fox. That's the best way to
like, but compare. With, like, muffin spaceships.
Yeah, but you're in space, and planets are, like, candy and muffins and, like...
Yeah.
But anyway, we sat down to play this game, and it's a four-player game, but there's only two of us, so we started playing just us two.
Yeah.
And then, like, maybe 2 minutes later, two other people sat down, and they're like, oh, let's start a four-player match. And I'm like, okay, we do that. And then the game just crashes, and like we're just like, oh, okay, we're just not gonna. We didn't want to wait, and just like we didn't want to play it that badly. Yeah,
we were just like,
so we were just like, okay, bye.
We're
so
done
we just
here.
Put our controllers down and walked away. I felt real bad about that. But yeah, so that was our like the first thing we did was just walk down the line and just look at, try to absorb as many things as we could because it's just game after game after game and like.
But you know what I kind of regret. That we got there early when there were actually a lot fewer people there when we first got there.
We should have taken advantage of that.
Just went to the biggest like stations and lined up.
Yeah.
Because later we tried to do that after walking around taking everything in. The lines were way too long by that point.
Yeah.
Cause
by midday and like later, like it was everything was jam packed because it was a weekend. It was the last day.
Yeah, it took us how long to play Dead by Daylight? Like 30-40 minutes?
30-40 minutes, yeah. I would say.
And that was a short line. Maybe even more.
That was a very short line.
The games like last like 15 minutes or something.
10,
each, right?
Depending, yeah.
Yeah. So like.
And then that jerk of a kid who was playing the killer played the most OP killer.
Oh.
Because.
I mean, they're 14.
They were like kids.
Yeah. Yeah, so
he was just trying to show off,
and I had never played the game.
And you had never played the game. You did pretty well, though. You were the last
two out of four people that were you were not the killer
last alive.
We didn't play the game, so.
So yeah, we played Dead by Daylight. We played a few indie games, but then we went to go eat and went to these panels. The first one we went to was what's it called? Do you remember the name of it?
How to make your white straight
male
protagonist not suck.
Yeah, so with that panel. Which was about, you know, a toxic masculinity.
And representation.
And representation.
It was kind of like...
Within video games. It's a great idea.
It's a great idea.
That's why we went. That's why we went. It was very enticing for the title.
Yeah.
But the way the panel was constructed and who was actually on the panel was kind of like, oh, this is kind of like a casual conversation between friends rather than like leading experts.
Yeah, or like an academic approach to... Mm-hmm. As two academics, we were just fairly disappointed.
It made me spill my tea. and then after that, we went to eat and then go to the Psychology of Zelda.
Yeah, I actually have all the psychology. They actually had psychologists on this panel. So I actually
That was the interesting part about that panel is that they actually had like certified psychologists.
Yeah, they're writing a book. And it's coming out apparently at the end of this year or early next year.
And one of them is doing like a peer-reviewed study on like... On
Twitch chat.
On Twitch chat and like online communication,
and
which is crazy. For any of you who are familiar with like how psychology, like the field of psychology works and how, you know, papers get developed and stuff like that and published, like that's a pretty big deal. Like we don't comment... That's definitely a new... what's it called?
Like field of research.
Field, new field of research.
Yeah, I mean, after they talked, I went up to the mic and asked them a question. I was like, what was your story on how you pitched video games and psychology?
To someone to fund your research.
Yeah, and they were like, 10 years ago, it would have been impossible.
Mm-hmm, which makes sense.
Yeah, but then they were just like, but look around you, like, the interest is there now. Like, mm-hmm. We're in a point where... It's important.
The room was full. It was like hundreds of people.
And it's relevant. It was one of the bigger like talk rooms too.
Yeah.
So it was
really full. We were all in the back.
Yeah. And we only came like 5 minutes late.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, and it's something that's like interesting to anybody who's a video game lover.
Yeah. And maybe not plays it, but like admires it from afar or even knows about it at all.
And studying psychology.
Mm-hmm.
And that's both.
And it's true, because 10 years ago, like, YouTube was very, like, it's just on the beginning, and Twitch wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah, one of the psychologists mentioned, like, MatPat on
What's
Game
MatPat?
Theory. Not Game Theory, what are they called? It's a YouTube channel where they do, they, like...
Game Theory.
Game Theory. They add science to video games and stuff like that. And I was just like, what? You're like you a legit psychologist. Yeah. Like PhD or PsyD.
Most of those things you see on YouTube or on Twitch are like just people just like, let's hypothesize for a bit. But you never see someone who's actually like, this is my career and this is what I'm going to study.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are wondering what panel we're talking about, it's a panel of it was called Psychology of Zelda. And really what it was just the breakdown of the like different tropes that the game has and why so many people are a fan of it. And like, what are the underlying messages or, you know, tones of the game that connect to real life and real people and why, kind of like the five stages of
loss or grief.
And how like you can dissect those five stages into certain levels of Zelda and how they represent and manifest. And it was just like,
Ocarina of Time or Majora's Mask. Which game was it?
Majora's Mask.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they connected to a lot. It's really interesting. It's a lot of like theoretical work, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Just discussing how video games, like, you know, playing Zelda and then running around and throwing. Oh, that was what one of the psychologists was doing, is that they do clinical psychology and actually play video games with their patients/clients.
It wasn't video games. It was Dungeons and Dragons.
Specifically.
With elderly patients for like cognitive like fluidity or something like flexibility. I don't know what word.
Yeah, but he was mentioning like branching out and like trying to do more.
Yeah, it was like a therapy.
Not just, yeah.
It was like a therapy for.
It's a type of therapeutic like work.
Yeah.
Which is still amazing.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was a thing.
I mean, it makes sense.
It makes sense, though. Yeah, as soon as you say it, like, explain it,
old people with a bunch of time, like, Dungeons and Dragons is the perfect thing.
That's what I'm going to be doing when I'm old.
Hopefully, yeah. That means living the life. If you had friends that you can still play that
exactly.
with.
Exactly.
Like, yeah.
You don't have to move.
No, you sit there and be old.
Like, senior homes would just be filled with, like, PCs and, like...
It doesn't even have to be PCs. It could literally be board games, like, old people are used to.
Well, that's what it is now.
Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, but they don't have Dungeons and Dragons at senior homes now, I don't think.
But they so easily can. It's so affordable versus a bunch of computers, you know?
So anyway, what would you say is was your favorite part about PAX, the Sunday that we went? It doesn't have to be, it could be a specific game as a moment.
Honestly, the indie games section, just seeing, like, how big major games like Zelda and Mario have inspired the indie game genre.
Oh yeah.
I just loved like taking it all in. Because when you were trying to talk to your dream girl, I was walking around by myself in the indie game section. I was just like taking it all in, like watching a little bit of these games that were happening in front of me. I didn't play a lot of them, but like, yeah, just watching them and being like, oh yeah, I see this influence here. I see that influence there. I wonder what this game is going to be like when it actually comes out, you know? And I also really loved playing that brawl game that we...
Brawlhalla.
Brawlhalla, yeah, that was really fun.
But that's not a new one, that's like been out for a bit.
I know it's been out for a bit, but I've never like had the like
desire I've never played it, and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, just sitting there, just like... Yeah.
It's like a simplified, but like different version of Smash, because Smash can like...
Yeah.
Like that one, they just had like a green, yellow, or red bar for when you're like, you know, high HP or low HP.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's kind of simplified. So I get that. Yeah, seeing how you'll see all these new indie games, but it's like, where is the similarities lie? Like, where is it falling? Where they're like, oh, they took inspiration from this game or this. Like, how would you describe that game in two other games? You know, like this game is a mashup of
Diablo.
You know, yeah, Diablo and
Harvest Moon.
It has the look and feel of Harvest Moon, but plays a lot like Diablo.
Yeah,
which is like the interesting part.
Yep.
But for me, like in terms of the indie games, it was fun just seeing the novel ideas. Like it was like the opposite. Like where you see the similarities, I'm looking at what are the differences and where are they taking this and then like pushing it forward a little bit.
Yeah.
The candy one was a little bit. You know, I was like, okay, okay. I really liked the one we played where you push the ground down or push the ground up.
Oh yeah,
that one was really cool.
With the slime ball. Guy. Yeah.
Like. The puzzle level, like platformers are really fun.
Yeah.
Those are really fun.
Those are the ones that really do take the innovation, like in a
creativity is there.
Yeah.
Like you can just see it. And especially in the artistic design is like one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, totally agree.
So we're reaching the halfway point. Let's play another two songs, then we'll come back and then we'll talk to you guys about what we want to see at PAX in the future.
And what we learned from going to our first convention.
Yeah, the do's and don'ts of PAX for those of you that are interested in going to it next year. Question is, what do I play now? There's just so much to...
All right, dude, do you need me to come save you?
No. I know what I want to play. It's just a matter of finding it.
Let's play Spiderhead by Cage the Elephant.
That's not a bad idea. I like Cage the Elephant.
Let's do it.
Wait, you said
Spiderhead.
Wow. Why that song out of all the songs?
I love Spiderhead, that's why. Because I got spiders in my head.
Because what?
I got spiders in my head.
Dude, I'm sure everyone can tell how tired you're talking into the microphone like this, like the entire time.
Actually, I'm so
If you guys
so
can see,
tired.
DJ EJ is almost horizontal. He's almost like, he's basically sleeping and just like the microphone's on his like, yeah. I feel like I'm his therapist right now. It's like, how does that make you feel?
Yep.
And you're just...
This is what I am.
All right, we'll see you guys after this. What a good song.
Both of those songs are good songs.
Yeah. So, the first one you guys listened to was Cage the Elephant. Spiderhead. Which DJ just requested right before we went off. And then followed by The Raconteurs? Hold on. I forgot. This can't be on.
The AC can't be on.
Cannot be on while you're live on air. Because you can hear that. Hey, welcome back. 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. You're listening to All Chat, the video game talk show, where we talk about all things video game. Related. And today we're talking, all things video game.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it. That's, oh. I meant for that to be like that.
Oh, okay.
Don't ruin it.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. You should not be bad. Sorry. Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Mr. Gracias, and that one across the desk is...
DJ HJ.
And today we're talking about PAX. PAX East, since it was just this past weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we only went that one Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, we had talked about it last week, talking about what we were excited for.
Yeah.
And just, hyped about it in general. And so we were just unpacking it today. And we're going to give you our do's and don'ts, and also what we look forward to. Are you going to give us a PSA first, though?
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to give you guys a PSA.
All right. This one is called Walking is Good Exercise PSA.
Can you not be half asleep while you're talking into the microphone?
Although other physical activities can provide a more vigorous workout, walking is easy, requires no special equipment, and is a good exercise for most adults. In urban areas, walking can be an excellent alternative to driving or even taking public transportation. For example, it's just a little over 2.5 miles from the Tufts campus in Medford to Harvard Square in Cambridge. I already knew that. A distance that can be walked in about 45 minutes by a healthy adult. I bet I can do it in 30. Walking can get you fresh air, exercise, burn calories, save you money, and with all the inattentive and otherwise impaired drivers on the road, it's safer than riding a bike. This has been a public service message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Community Radio.
How long does it take to get to Davis?
From our house?
Yeah.
Probably 20, 30 minutes, dude.
Yeah. So then how long would it take to get to Harvard Square from our house?
Like an hour.
Dang.
Probably takes 20 minutes to bike. I've done that before. Mm-hmm. So
I've never walked to Harvard Square from
It's stupid.
Tufts.
Don't walk there.
But the PSA doesn't convince me to. It's only 2.5 miles. And a healthy human can do it in 45. Like, come on. I can do it in half.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
So what would be your do's and don'ts of PAX?
I say do get a good night's sleep before.
Yeah, did you PAX. How much sleep did you get the night before?
I slept 5 hours.
And how long was your day prior? Like that whole entire day before it?
It was too long. I don't remember.
A Saturday?
Yeah, I was up at 7:30 a.m.
Oh my god.
And then I went to bed at 3. I went to bed at 3.
Oh my god.
So, don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
What would be your don't? Or, do get enough sleep and then don't not get enough sleep.
Don't buy food at PAX.
Don't buy food at PAX. What would be the alternative then? Bring food with you?
Order delivery or something? I don't know. Just don't eat there.
Because the convention center is kind of
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, kind of locked in terms of... You can't cross the street to McDonald's or Subway. Looking there.
Yeah, actually.
I feel like I would modify that to be don't not get food at PAX... But also be vigilant about it. Don't be I'm assuming there's food here, and just go. And then when you get feel hungry, be I'm gonna go get food, and then you realize that there's
lines,
20 minute lines just to get a food, average meal at a
exorbitant price.
Yeah, exactly. Crowded with people, it's just not gonna be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
So either plan accordingly and go earlier before you're gonna be cranky from being hungry,
yeah,
or just don't eat the entire day. I mean, that's your other alternative.
That's a don't. That's a don't. Don't eat all day.
What would be my do's and don'ts? Well, one, just one and one. Do try as many games as you can. Yes. Try to get your hand, like, if you see an open booth, go and do it. Yep. I feel like that was a good thing we tried to do right at the last, like, 2 hours we were there.
Yeah, that's how you gotta live life, you know?
Yeah.
Try just, everything once.
Yeah, just go there and just try a game. And it's very overwhelming at first, and because of how much I was like, oh, we're not gonna be able to try every game, I also was like, so I don't even want to try. Like, it was kind of so overwhelming, you kind of just want to sit and, like, not do anything, like, yeah. You know?
Maybe just osmosis it all.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Or just, like, be able to watch someone play, and, like, that's good enough.
Yeah.
I'd say if you're going to PAX, especially for one day, I would say try as many games as possible.
Yeah, and stay as long as possible.
Stay as long as... get there as early and as late, and stay as late as you can.
Yeah.
I feel like that's why it's optimal if we had done 2 days. I think 2 days would have been my, like, perfect. Because the first day you learn all the things that you shouldn't do, and then the next day you're like, oh, like, this is what I should do this time.
Then, I think 1 day was perfect for me. Because it's going to be the same stuff tomorrow, you know? It's not like...
Yeah, it is going to be the same stuff, overnight. But it's not... You think we tried everything?
No.
Exactly.
I don't think we needed to try everything.
I would have liked to.
I don't think
not for the extra money though. Like that's why you know we didn't do it.
I don't even think in 2 days you can try everything. That's the thing.
At least get close to it.
You're gonna do.
But you'll be able to like see everything that you want to. Like you'll pass by something like, oh, I want to try that at some point. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And then be like, no, I hit everything on my checklist in 2 days.
Mm.
Of things like, oh, that I want to try, or that like I'd be okay with not seeing, or like trying out. And then my don't, huh? My don't would be, don't be scared of lines. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. There's a threshold. There's like an optimal level where like, if the line's too long, it's like, okay, like you're wasting time. You could be doing other things, but also don't take that into account for every single line. It's not like every single line is like, okay, I could have been like this 20-minute line. I could have been doing something else. It's like, well, enjoy the thing that you waited in 20 minutes for. Yeah. Like, make it like worth your while.
Don't make waiting in lines your whole day, but like
one or two
things that like are worth waiting in line for.
Like, take part in the hype.
Yeah.
If it's a line to play PUBG, like
you can play it at home.
You can play it at home.
Yeah.
I mean, we did wait in lines to play Dead by Daylight, but that was because of the setup like that they had. It was really cool.
Yeah.
And the developers were there, and I'm a big fan of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I would only wait in the PUBG, in the PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds line for the zombie events. Like, that's the one reason I would eat, but I think it would be impossible to get into that.
Yeah, because everybody's trying to...
They can accept the only first 100 people.
Yeah, like, I really wanted to try Detroit, that game.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, that's not... I'm not going to wait in line for that, you know?
Oh, we didn't even talk about the VR section and, like,
how much VR was just so, like, coveted by people that, like... The line, like, when we got there at, like, 10:30, the sign-up for one of the VR booths was done for the day.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what?
And then throughout the whole day, we would walk by it, and there's just, like, all these, like, booths with so much VR, with so much VR, like, gaming going on.
Yeah.
And every other booth, someone was just, like, with the goggles on, and, like, the things just, like...
Oh, remember that VR, that, so we actually, there was a VR booth right next to the station where we played Far Cry. And those guys were like playing, and we were like standing there, and the developers were like, oh yeah, we just made like a casual like VR solitaire game, and we were just like, oh cool, like I'll try it out, and the guys just would not stop playing. And then we heard the developers talking like, oh, we really gotta cap these test times because these kids were like on it just doing nothing.
It was just playing solitaire.
Yeah.
In like, virtual reality.
How long do you need to be in virtual reality to understand that you're playing solitaire? You know?
But, like, that's the thing, is that you could take something so, like, you know, mundane as solitaire, put it in VR, and, like, just because of the VR component, that's, like, engulfs everyone that's playing it.
It's literally the same thing as playing solitaire on your own table, but, like, with worse
graphics.
But
that just shows how powerful VR is, like, as a device that people will play whatever, like for extended periods of time, even if it's solitaire. Like the VR chats, like that's a huge wave that's just like hitting the gaming community. Mm-hmm. And then those booths that had VR and were doing, I don't know if you saw the ones that were more Star Trek, Strecky, like where there's people on, like, they were doing controls on a spaceship. Like, there was four of them. That. Yeah, there was four of them set up. And for all these VR booths, you could see, there was a monitor, like a TV screen pointed at anyone who was walking by so you could see what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. And it was just, it was really interesting seeing how they're making it multiplayer, like VR, like being able to play VR with someone else.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is fascinating to me because up until now, it's only been like you stand in your room by yourself and just, like, you know, yeah, play a game. But mm-hmm, I couldn't imagine doing that multiplayer, like massive multiplayers. Like, I've seen some that are kind of take PUBG into VR or take, you know, Arma or, Battlefield into VR. And that's the most interesting part where you can, like, physically have to reload your gun.
Yep.
I don't know. I've never tried. I've never put on a VR headset. So
me neither. I've done it once with a phone.
Yeah, I did it once with a phone, but it was like, you just look, like, it was, you weren't playing anything. You were kind of observing a movie, kind of.
It was at the MFA that.
Yeah, I did it at Lollapalooza this past summer. Okay,
very different context. My VR experience was in refugee camps around the world.
Oh my God.
What was yours?
I'm afraid to say now. I kind of just put me on the spot. I mean, Lollapalooza had a Samsung booth where there's a bunch of Samsung. If you're a Samsung owner, you can go there and, like, chill out.
Yeah.
Enjoy the AC, the bathrooms, whatever. They also had booths set up with, like, all the gadgets Samsung can have. I went on a, like, there was, like, a surfboard thing that, like, moved, and you could stand on it, and they give you a goggles, and then it looks like you're surfing. You could feel it.
Nice.
Nice, that, dude. So that's what I, that was my first VR experience. That
sounds really cool.
That's how I lost my VR virginity. It wasn't as meaningful as yours.
And you were in...
I was surfing in Hawaii.
Yeah, you were in Hawaii.
Nice. I mean, you're jealous. I can hear it. So do you think you would ever invest in a VR headset?
No! Absolutely not.
Tell us how you really feel.
Actually, no. I think it's just a giant waste of money for someone who doesn't. Like,
You think you invest in it when it becomes more cost-efficient?
Look, Noah from our monthly gaming club,
yeah,
he has a VR setup, but he never uses it.
Yeah.
Because
it's very novel right now. Exactly. Like, it's very niche. Like, you need to have...
Yeah, maybe when I have kids in, like 20 years from now...
Like, it'll be very popular and, like... It'll cost like $100 to get a...
Yeah, but not right now. It's like $1,000 for the new like HTC Vive.
For like the latest.
Yeah, it's like over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, why? Yeah.
If like me and all my rich friends have VRs, then I guess.
And also you need a computer strong enough to run these VR games.
You just need a graphics... My graphics card can run VR games.
Okay, but your laptop was also $1,000, right?
So, it was like, $1,300. So
to over $2,000 combined, like,
it's all about the graphics card, but then also with the graphics card comes tech that can run the graphics card. Right. So you're right. So what do we hope is at PAX in the future? Kingdom if we were Hearts to go 3. Next year,
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yep, that's all I want. And Anthem.
What's Anthem?
That's EA's new like Destiny clone.
Oh,
it looks sick at E3 last year or 2 years ago, they revealed it and it looks amazing.
I would want more personalities. I would want more online people at this event.
E3 probably had more personalities than PAX.
Well, that's fair though, because E3 is like
bigger.
The thing where everyone announces their stuff, so everyone goes there.
Yeah,
you'll see it all over every news feed on any video game culture place anywhere.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think I would want to see more, you know, Twitch streamers, YouTubers come to this event and have their own booths like available to them.
Yeah, listen to us, you YouTubers and Twitch streamers. Yeah. Come on.
Like, and all of our frequent listeners, like, you know, make it happen.
Yeah,
get on there.
Petition 500,000 strong to get Video Game Donkey to have his own booth at PAX East.
Yeah, I wish there was a schedule to let you know when people were coming, but you know, like Donkey just shows up and just...
I mean, they had meet and greets, like official meet and greets. Remember?
Did they?
Yeah, Pokey Main.
Oh, well, yeah.
But what's it called?
That was through League of Legends themselves, though.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. How many streamers do we have right now?
Still 10.
See? They're robots.
They're unless bots.
You,
we
unless
have,
you,
we
unless
have
you call in,
we have
you're
bots.
All robots. I don't.
Are you going to shame our listeners for not calling?
Yeah, I don't care what they say. We always have around 10 or
just
11.
Just excuse DJ HeJ.
This is a ego boost that the station
We appreciate lurkers.
For No, I don't appreciate lurkers. I want you to interact with me. This is an interactive show.
Yeah, I mean, it is all chat, so we're hoping for some type of response from the other team, I guess.
But, yeah, no, there's none.
So we have 5 minutes left in our show. I think I'm just going to play a song and then we can, you know, dip out of here.
Till next time.
Do you want to do the outro thing? Why do you never like doing it?
It's not my thing, man. I'm a PSA kind of guy.
I'm a PSA guy.
Yeah.
I'm more of a PSA kind of guy.
That's me.
So I'll play another Cage the Elephant song and then we'll see you guys next week here on All Chat, the video game talk show. Here on 91.5 FM, WMFO, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This is Mr. Gracias signing out.
And this is DJ HeJ signing
HeJ
out.
DJ.
HeJ DJ.
It doesn't matter which way you say it. Yeah. It all works out.
Yeah, it's the
all
same.
Right. See you guys next week.
Goodbye.
Enjoy your weekend. Silver cloud broken.